much. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Last episode, I got really, really emotional. Because if you're listening, I got a phone call at the very end, and my mom was admitted to the hospital. And then my dad couldn't get in, he couldn't even walk her to the door because of COVID. And I talked about how my mom is not really independent. She's like needs my dad for almost everything, at least for support. She does a lot of stuff on her own, but she sort of needs my dad. And I got really worked up. I'm an emotional guy. I wear my heart and my shoulder, and I'm very different than my brother. My brother's more like my dad, and I'm more like my mom. And I don't know how that happened, but it just did. I worry more about things. My brother's more stoic, at least he might worry, but he doesn't show it. But all weekend we sort of monitored, and they were talking on Friday like she needed surgery. And all day Saturday she needed surgery, but really towards the end of Saturday, she had a bowel movement, which means that was a really good thing, even though it wasn't much. And she was walking around better, and the doctor started to think, like if the night goes well, it's possible you could go home. So instead of having surgery for the small intestine blockage, they believed that it had passed and that she could go home. So Sunday we were monitoring real carefully, and it was kind of interesting because Friday night she didn't have her phone, so none of us could get a hold of her. We had to, at least her phone wasn't charged. And then Saturday morning she could charge it because my dad took her the charger. And then we were able to get a hold of her more often, which was a little bit of a security blanket. Even though nobody could see her, we could at least talk to her and see how things were going. And as the day progressed on Saturday, things were looking good. And then Sunday they released her, which was like, whoa. And a lot of stress was relieved. And my mom is home now recovering, which is good. And things are progressing forward fairly well. So I want to thank you all for at least those that contacted me and kept her in your thoughts. I think it helped, and I appreciate it because she's recovering, and that is a good thing. And one of the things that me and my brother did that was kind of he thought of it, which was such a good idea, but he created a Google Doc. And anytime one of us, he contacted the inner family, aunts and uncles and cousins, and on my mom's side mostly. And we all had access to the Google Doc. So anytime we talked to her, we'd go in there and make an update. And then everybody can see what was happening and what the doctor's prognosis was for each hour. And that was like really helpful in this COVID situation to keep us all apprised of sort of what was going on. And we're just relieved that she didn't have to have surgery, 'cause that would have been a bigger deal. And things worked out well. So thanks again. And I thought I should get that out there and then kind of continue where I left off. Wanted to talk about a couple of things. DC's gone exclusive with DCBS and Midtown. They're no longer providing comics through the end of July, I think. Maybe it's June, for Diamond, which has caused an uproar. A lot of people are hating on DC for destroying the market. And I don't see why. As a consumer, you could still get your DC comics if you're a reader. People get so tied up in the business that they forgot that when they went to the spinner rack as a kid and pulled the comic book, they never thought even who did the comic usually. They just wanted to read a good story and see the adventures of their favorite heroes. And yeah, it's the market's changing, and I saw the writing on the wall about, I don't know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't think there's a lot of money in it, and I think they boost sales by false variants and stuff like that, when really the market is 50,000 to the max of 100,000 people. More like 50, probably, because those 50 probably buy a lot of comics. There's not a lot of people buying comics. There might be a lot, but when you add it all up, there's probably like 50,000 hardcore fans. And then the rest are, hey, I'll get this, I'll get that, whatever they're getting, but not a lot. And I think it's a dying market. So it makes sense to me that somebody coming in AT&T that is sort of inheriting a shitstorm because they owe so much money and they're micromanaging everything would come to the conclusion, we got to do something. We got to turn this around. We got to try something. And one of the things they saw as a problem was Diamond, and it sounds like they've thought that for quite some time. Even the previous person that Dan DiDio worked for had mentioned in an article that they had bad services with Diamond, and they were looking to get out for quite some time. And this year their contract was expiring, so they were looking for a way out. And when you look at it from a business standpoint, what's the best time to test the waters when you're not flooding it? So test it with two smaller distributors, or some people that you know are proven commodities being the top two consumers of Diamond. Maybe they and they distribute online can support this. So that's what they did. Well, a lot of the market is freaking out. Like Image wrote a nasty letter, a bunch of people freaking out. Yeah, I agree it's gonna cause problems, and a lot of people are complaining about their POS system and how it won't read with the new. But they have developers working, at least from Lunar. They're working on providing, like, so let's say you're a store and you need a certain format. Contact Christine and say, hey, I would like this format and I'd like to be a customer. Can you support this format? And they have a developer that will look at getting you an appropriate CSV format that your tool can ingest. So I don't know. I do think that things are going to change. And there's going to be diminished product. Paper is, I think people are going to be telling more digital stories and hoping to grow the market that way. I think DC is catering to a younger market because that's where they see money. I think they're going to continue Walmart books, but not through the LCSs anymore because that turned out to be a little too late for it to catch any kind of fans, and they were not selling well at the LCSs, so they said, we'll just keep continuing to go to Walmart. And I did go to Walmart this last and pick up some that had been canceled on my DCBS order. And interesting enough, last Friday being what it was, another interesting thing happened. I usually get my shipment on Friday, Saturday. And that shipment came in, and I was like, wow, it's earlier than normal. It usually arrives on Saturday. So I cut it open. I opened it and I started busting the bubbles already because that's what I usually do. And then I pulled the first book out and I said, God damn, I don't remember ordering this. And that sometime happens. And then I pulled out two more and I was like, I already have this and I don't remember ordering this. And then I pull out the small set of comic books, the individual issues, and I was like, this ain't my shipment. And it was a big shipment because whoever's this was, it was like a monthly shipment. It had a lot of fucking hardcovers, man. And I was like, wow, I've never had this happen since 2006. So I'll send an email. I think I sent it on Saturday. And they usually don't answer emails on Saturday. They do it Monday through Friday. So I wasn't expecting DCBS to respond to it. And I wrote an email, and then I was like, I wrote another email because I don't think I was clear on what's happening. And then they contacted me and said, oh, we'll take care of it. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, we'll send repack it. I repacked it as best I could. And they'll send me a shipping notice. And then I notified them. I was like, you sent me the wrong shipping notice because the shipping notice, so that took a day. On Monday, I notified them, hey, you sent me a shipping notice to ship this back. And I noticed the weight was like 15 pounds off. This guy's box was 46 pounds. And they sent me like 30. So I said, I don't want to take this to FedEx and then get turned around, and especially it's a heavy box, and get turned around. So they. On Tuesday they fixed it. They sent me that and they said, we're preparing your package. So I don't know if the other guy got my package or there were just some kind of mix up and they were preparing my package or if that guy was gonna ship the stuff back and they had enough content to recreate my package. I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff. I just know that on Tuesday, well, maybe it was Wednesday. Wednesday I had a shipping notice sent to me in an email. So I clicked on it and I said, I wonder if that's the new one. I hope there's no confusion because I didn't get the one that's going to ship. I get weekly shipments. So I was like, well, I wonder if that's not the new one. But the other one said pending. So I was like, this is something different. So today I got it. So they like turned it around like really fast because it was reported or read on a Monday and then it didn't resolve until Tuesday and then ship on a Wednesday and I had my package today. So this whole fiasco was resolved within 5 business days, in my opinion, including part of Friday and part of Friday. So I was really impressed, and I'm gonna send them an email thanking them for turning it around so quickly. And that all worked out because I've never had to do I the only other time I had to do a DCBS, they missed a book once and then they replaced it. And then one other time I ordered these Eagle Moss figure a stand. It was a ceramic stand for the Eagle Moss figures. It wasn't worth it, by the way. But I ordered it thinking it would look cool. Turns out they look better without it, but I ordered the stand and it came broken and I had to take pictures of it and send it in and then they resolved that. They sent me another Eagle Moss stand for the figurines. So overall, 3 mix-ups since 2006. That's pretty damn good. Because I had more at the LCS. I was missing stuff. The other thing that arrived today is I don't usually do this, but Kirk retweeted some Uncle Sam Freedom Fighter to me from an artist, and his name is Jamie Jones, I believe. And I liked it a lot. It was a very unique style. Looked sort of golden agey with like a little bit of a Mad Magazine flair. And then I went to his Twitter after Kirk sent it to me, and I saw that he'd done a Phantom Lady, 'cause he was doing like golden age sketches, and I'm like, oh my God, he's hitting on the freedom fighters. So I contacted him and I said, I'm interested in this one and this one. And I kind of said, I nudged him and I said, would you be willing to do a human bomb so I could have my three favorite freedom fighters, the Human Bomb, Uncle Sam, and Phantom Lady. And it made it happen, and then those came in today, and I was really impressed with them. So I sent him another note. I don't, he hasn't answered yet, but I said, would you be willing to finish the freedom fighters off for me? So get the Ray, Doll Man, and Black Condor from the Golden Age, and we'll see. But even if it doesn't turn out, I'm happy with the three that I got. I'm really happy with them. And I dig the Golden Age. What else is up? So I thought I would continue with my package that I ordered from my comic shop that got interrupted last week. So I've been trying to finish my, I think they're called the MC2 universe, or maybe it's the M2 universe. It's a Marvel universe that DeFalco and Franz started on, and then there's some other artists involved, but it's a DeFalco universe about like a new generation of heroes on another Earth. And I've been trying to complete that, and this is Fantastic Five. So I ordered some of those. I don't think I'm complete yet on the second volume. Or no, I'm complete on the second volume. I have three of the comics from the first volume. And then I don't remember what happened. Somebody posted a firestorm. I don't remember. No, I know what happened. We were recording an episode of Retrocast, and I think it was Rob. It may have been Chris, but I think it was Rob that reviewed an issue of Firestorm. And I usually go, while they're talking, I usually go and look at my comic book database to see what the cover looks like. So, I load Comic Base and, I mouse over the cover. And I see what the cover looks like. And while I was in there, I was scrolling down, I was like, yeah, I got the full runs of all the Firestorms. And I'm like, uh-oh, I don't have the annuals. So this one I had to order annual 1, 2, and 3. I'm gonna have to cough here for a second. So then Kirk had recommended, I had put the Twitter out, and he's like, have you ever tried Fish Police? I was well aware of Fish Police. I talked about Fish Police in last episode because Chris had sent me several other Fish Polices. Well, these were one, I said, I'm going to try 1 and 2 and see how it goes. And I haven't read them yet, but I need to get on it. I have a lot of yard work to do this week, and it's extremely hot tonight. I could start tonight, but I have to go get gas to mow the grass. I think I'm gonna go early in the morning, grab some gas, and then wait till, I don't know, 8:30 or 9 when I think it's okay to fire up the lawnmower and not wake up the entire world. And then mow then. I saw when I was auditing, I was missing an awesome comic. I'm trying to get all the awesome comics that are by Rob Liefeld. The Awesome Arcade, The Maximum, the image ones that he did. And I needed this one, so I purchased it. And this one, it was actually a Dynamic Forces exclusive that was really relatively cheap. I could get the Dynamic Forces or the regular cover for almost the same price, so I went with the Dynamic Forces exclusive. Then I was poking around in the dollar bin. I don't usually do that, but I saw Grim Leaper, and I hadn't owned it or read it, and it was a, I think it's Curtis Wiebe that wrote it, and I sort of like his writing quite a bit. And I said, hey, it's a dollar, I'll give it a shot. There were no more other Grim Leapers to add to the cart in the dollar section, so I just added that one. And then a long time ago, I don't know what the hell this came from, but Kirk had mentioned something like, have you ever read Jackaroo? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. It's an Australian type hero, Australian type comic. I'll give it a shot. So I ordered from 1990 Jackaroo 1 through 3. Another thing, I was. The next book came about because Rob Krieger from the Retrocast told me, hey, Mike, I really think you should go through that closet you have an inventoried. And I inventoried my stuff, and as I was reading, I was reading the tail end of JSA before it ended, actually, volume 2, which was the Mark Guggenheim volume. And then this was around the time, this was after the Geoff Johns run. And then JSA All Stars was going on, which was Freddie Williams and I can't remember the writer. It's at the tip of my tongue. But that was sort of like teach this younger generation superheroics and will spawn off another book. So each one of the younger generation had a mentor, if you will, JSA All Stars, and I realized I was missing a JSA annual. It says 80 page giant, but I guess it's a JSA 80 page giant. And I added it because that can't happen. I have a full run of JSA, and I'm like, how did this happen? Well, I was missing it. So I ordered that. Long story for one issue. The next issue, so like I follow the comic spectrum, which is Bob Bretall, who I've had on the Mike M's Collector's Corner, and a friend, and I have met him. He owns the Guinness Book of World Records for comic books recorded. And he had posted, he loves to post stuff when it's obscure. And I think he's going through a lot of his collection now because he's actually changing database from my database to another one. He had trouble porting to the new version and he didn't like the support he was getting. I've been happy with my database and I think it'd be a lot of work. It seems like a lot of work to move over, but his had something to do with in order to maintain your Guinness Book of World Records, you have audits and stuff, and you have to know exactly where every fucking book is because you get these like random off. It's where's this, what book, and it somehow, from what I understand, it lost his books, so he didn't want to upgrade, so he reverted back, but he's like, he reported it, and I guess he wasn't getting a fix fast enough, so he said, you know, I'm going to this other solution. You can go to Comic Spectrum if you're a Facebook person and follow that discussion if you'd like on why he switched, because it's in there. But anyway, he posted an obscure book called Cray, and I was like, this looks awesome. So I wanted to get the three issues, and I was only able to get one, but I got number one, so that's cool. I needed one issue of Lady Supreme, so I got that, which With all the Supreme titles there are, including like Supreme Gladiator and some oddball stuff, I think I only need like two Alan Moore books of Supreme left to go, and then I have all the Supreme. Last Generation, that was recommended by Kirk. I bought 4 issues of that. Lobo, A Contract on God. I needed issue one. I got that. That was actually the most expensive issue I think I ordered. Marvel Universe, I completed that issue with four, five, six, and seven. That was an obscure title that I didn't even know existed about Monster Hunters. Marvel's Captain America, Marvel's Comics. That's what a weird title. Marvel's Comics, Captain America, Marvel's Comics, Daredevil, Marvel's Comics, Spider-Man, and Marvel's Comics, X-Men. I had read Iron Man, and I was like, this is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. What is this? And it turned out to be a fifth week type event for Marvel where they told Elseworlds stories with their main properties and kept them like technology based. It was interesting. Kind of like real world superheroes type thing. Like DC did a real world Elseworlds called Real Worlds. It sort of was like that. And I tried to complete the run, but I didn't get Marvel's Comics Fantastic Four. So I still have one that I need to get, which sucks. There was a Mighty Titan I needed for a dollar and the dollar ones. That's from Red Anvil. That's a fun, if you like Bronze Age type superhero stories, I think you'll like that. If you like superhero stories in general, I think you'd like it. Passover was a character in the Liefeld bunch that I didn't even know existed. It's a one shot. I needed it. Prime Cuts was a Mike Diodato reprint of his Brazilian comic, so it's translated. That was really good. I already read it from 1996 caliber. Rejects, those are Rob Liefeld awesome comics that I needed. I got 01 and the Wizard World Preview. Recently covered Red Sonja on Geek Brunch and realized I didn't have number 9 of the 2019, so I bought it digitally, read it so I could cover it, and then I wanted the physical copy to complete that because I haven't missed an issue of Red Sonja. We have Sam and Twitch, which I'm trying to complete, number 23. Santa the Barbarian, that's another Liefeld book from Maxim Comics. Scarlet Witch 1 and 2 was a miniseries in 1994. I completed that. Surfer in Thy Name was an issue that I needed. I think I'm almost close. I think I need one more issue of that to complete that. Somerset Holmes was a recommendation from someone on Twitter. I didn't record their name, but it looked so good. Sonic Disruptors, I've talked about that, how much I enjoyed that. Completed 4, 5, 6, and 7. I haven't read them yet, but it's cut short because it's supposed to be a 12-issue series. Never finishes, so it just goes to show that you think things are happening bad now with not finishing stories. Well, they happened back then too because of low sales. Even the DC implosion proved that. Southern Nights, this one I don't remember who recommended, but I think it came from 11 O'Clock Comics. They were talking about a fanzine advertisement, and I said that looks interesting. Maybe it was Southern Squadron because I also got that. I don't remember which one came from where. I think one of them came from somebody recommended Southern something. And then I just hit the database next button, and the other one came up, and I said, "You know what? That looks interesting." And that's an Australian top seller from Cyclone Comics. and then eventually went over to Aerosol. Space Ace from Arcana. I'm trying to finish that series. That there was another Space Ace from Cross Gen too. Spanner's Galaxy. I covered that. I read it. I read one and two, and I was like, you know what? I gotta get the rest of this series from DC Comics 1984. Spawn the Dark Ages, number four. I completed Spawn the Dark Ages. Spider-Man Badrock was a crossover with Liefeld's company, 1997. Stanley and His Monster, not the original, but the 1993 four-issue miniseries. I didn't have that. I still need the original series as well. I have one or two in pretty beat-up shape from the original series. Stanley the Snake with the Overactive Imagination. This looks like something that I wouldn't normally get, but I got anyway because Kirk from the DC Everything Else podcast recommended it. Starbrand, I'm trying to finish off my new universe. I'm about halfway, I think. I got DP7, I got Night Mask, I got some of the others, but I got a ways to go. There was a Star Blast actually ties in with that universe. I had found one in a dollar comic book and wanted to finish it, so this is Star Blast 2 and 3. And I had one and four from another. Now I just gotta find those one and four so I could unite them together. Subhuman. This one's the Mark Schultz comic book that I know nothing about from Dark Horse, and I fell in love with. I guess it was about a year ago, 2 years ago. I bought all the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs comics, and what was the title before? Xenoic Tales or something like that. Which was Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. And I just fell in love with his art style and his storytelling. And he wrote a comic book called Subhuman. He did the covers as well. So I thought I'd try that. I found that out from the podcast group on Facebook. Somebody actually covered it. And I said, I didn't know about that. Super Cops was recommended by Joe Crawford from the DC Everything Else podcast that I'm a host of as well. He talked very highly in terms of that and Lady Cop, and I absolutely love Lady Cop, so thought I needed to check out Super Cops. And while I was in it, this is a database thing. I hit the next button. There's another Super Cops title from now, and I needed to check that out. So I said, why the hell not? Chuck Dixon's story looks interesting. And then I was like, well, as part of trying to complete, I completed all my Savage Dragons, all my Freak Force, all of a lot of the minis, Dart, I forget who those two clowns are. I have almost everything, but I haven't finished, even though Eric Larson didn't do it, it was published under Highbrow Image. Super Patriots comics. So I'm almost complete with my Super Patriots collection. I think I need one or two more. I was missing two heavy metal books. This is probably because I just missed ordering them, number two and four. Ordered that. Getting close on the Atlas completion. Matter of fact, I might be there. I think the only thing left I have is Gothic Romance, and that's a son of a bitch to find. There's one that I have an opportunity to buy, but it's like 200 or more. I can't remember what it was. Like more than $200 for good condition. Not even a VG, a good condition. Tor, I finished that run from DC Comics. I needed number one. Unknown Soldier, the miniseries, the second series. I needed 5 through 12, and I picked those up. Unlimited Access is a DC Marvel crossover. I was missing number three, and I picked that up. Untold Tales of the New Universe Justice. I already talked about the trying to finish the New Universe. This is the New Universe Justice, New Universe Night Mask, and New Universe Psi-Force. They were one shots. I think there is one more to go, and then I'll have all the Tales of the New Universe one shots. I can't remember which one I'm. Maybe it's DP7. Maybe I don't remember what the other one is. Might be Starbrand. Not sure. The Venture comic I already read. I needed Venture 1, 2, and 3. These 1 and 2 had Eric Larson art in them. I needed to get it. I am trying to be an Eric Larson completist, and I'm very close, minus that graphic illustrated book he did that only has like four copies in existence, and there's one other one. And there might be there's a few Marvel ones I don't have, but I'm working on them. Like I think I'm missing Fantastic Four, the World's Greatest Comics, Fantastic Four number 11 and 12, and he did that entire series. War, I learned this one from Rob Krieger. It's a tie-in to the new universe, and there was a series after the draft called War. It was 1, 2, 3, and 4 from 1989. Weird Secret Origins, 80-page giant. I don't know how I missed this, but this is badass. It has a Spectre on the cover, and that was the most expensive book I had to buy. It was $15.50. I thought it was something else earlier. Lobo, Contract of God, Wild Knights, Shattered Earth Chronicles. Don't remember where somebody recommended that. It might have been 11 O'Clock Comics advertisement, not sure. I know the next one was 11 O'Clock Comics discussion of a fanzine, the comic review, or was it comic interview? They talked about X Thieves graphic album number 1 through 4, and I picked those up. So that wraps up that kind of stuff. And what else? I went to Walmart and picked up Batman Giant number 5, Teen Titans Giant number 2, Teen Titans Go DC Superhero Girls Giant, and Swamp Thing Giant number 5 because orders were canceled on the DCBS because they're not coming out as comics. Well, I got distracted there. Squirrel on the Twitters. So I think I'm gonna pause for the cause. I'm gonna drink some water. And then I'm gonna try to do at least 2 weeks worth of comics, 'cause man, I am gotten so far behind on the weekly reads. It's not a bit funny. So bear with me, and I'll be right back. All right, let's try to knock this out. This is the week of April 13th through April 19th of 2020. There were a total of 34 comics, one Marvel, one Luana Vecchio. I'll explain where that one came from. Kickstarter one. I usually group all the Kickstarters into one group. Dynamite 15, DC 9, AWA 4, American Mythology 2. So we'll start at the bottom. DC Comics, Aquaman Jabberjaw. The previous time I went over weekly reads, I talked about how much I was enjoying the latest Aquaman series, and I was going through the box and saw the Aquaman Jabberjaw and thought I'd take a looky and read it, and it was entertaining. Jabberjaw was a cartoon back in the day that I watched, and he was on a band. I think he played the drums, but sort of a, if I remember, it was sort of sci-fi-ish, but had an underwater world take to it, and What I remember mostly about it is they did the voice of Curly sort of nyah, 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 from the Three Stooges. That's what I remember of it. But anyway, Aquaman teamed up with Jabberjaw. Sharks are becoming violent in Amnesty Bay. When Aquaman does some investigation, he runs into Jabberjaw, who comes from the future through a portal. Aquaman and Jabberjaw have to stop a threat along with Jabberjaw's friends, the band. Lovesick number 1 and 2. I was buying some digital comics on Comixology, mostly to finish Friendship Paradox. And usually, when I buy some comic on digital, I don't just stop at one. And this one looked really appealing. Lovesick looked like a Donna Matrix type story. And it was very weird. If you're into Hostel or Domina Matrix stories, this is for you. I rated it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. Donna Matrix tortures many of her dark web followers, and like her dark web followers, they just admire her and they want to be on her show, and they could get killed on her show. It's crazy, sexually killed. It's sort of like sexually deviant. Another 3 out of 5 is Laurel and Hardy meet the Stooges. A couple moves into a rundown home where they hire the Stooges for repairs and Laurel and Hardy for moving, and it just turns into a disaster from American Mythology Press. Vengeance of Vampirella, this is volume 1 from Harris, but it's the facsimile edition. Vampirella recently, after defeating Dracula, is trying to find her way. She hunts a troll that is killing children. A monster organization is terrified of her and decides to hire Hemorrhage to go after her. At the end, it looks like Hemorrhage kills Pendragon, which is a supporting character in Vampirella, and Vampirella is going to leave Adam. I guess that's sort of her boyfriend in this book. Vengeance of Vampirella 1 through 3. A grandmother is telling the origin of a hero, Vampirella, who was defeated or killed by Nyx. The earth is ruled by Nyx and demons, and Pendragon raises her from the dead to fight Nyx again and some guy that looks like Hemorrhage. So it's paying respect to what happened before. It's sort of taking place in the post-apocalyptic world with Vampirella. Really interesting. That's from Dynamite, so it's volume 2. Carson of Venus from American Mythology Press, Realm of the Dead. Carson is going to try to save Dwyer, who is captured by the Skoar of Camor Castle. He unleashes the dead on Carson. Carson befriends and befriends, raises her from the dead. Oh, sorry. Carson befriends the guy who's from the dead to fight Nyx, and some guy looks like Hemorrhage, but he's trying to go rescue the princess. Cosmic Boy 1 through 4. It's a Legends crossover where these are 4 out of 5s, by the way, since Vengeance of Vampirella, which means I really enjoyed it. Legends. Crossover with Godfrey makes the world think that the heroes are bad. Cosmic Boy and Night Girl, who's one of my favorites, decide to take a vacation and go through have a throwdown with Brimstone, who was I think it was in involved in Legends, but also a Firestorm villain, and and a secret organization. They try to get help from a scientist to fix their time capsule. And when he uses his power to time jump, they end up way into the future and have to deal with the time trapper. There is an ordeal with the time trapper, but they are able to escape and warn the Legion about the time trapper, which is going to be continued in Legion of Superheroes. Not too much of a Legends crossover other than issue 1 and part of 2, but it was an interesting story. Silver Surfer number 8. This is the Dan Slott story. Really enjoying this one. Surfer lets Dawn steer the board, and she crashes into a planet full of refugees and lone survivors of worlds. Surfer was the herald for destroying. So, like, there's a lot of individuals that had their worlds destroyed by the Surfer slash Galactus, and this is the world that the board took her to, because Dawn was steering. Dawn is furious when she finds out and does not want to be with Surfer anymore, so she stays on the planet while Surfer is orbiting on the outside. Meanwhile, Galactus has followed the Surfer trail to this world and is looking to devour it. Scorpiana, that was the Kickstarter. A woman with acid touch goes looking for her sister in a Mexican mafia. They are supplying people to a scientist who's trying to make metas. Scorpiana escaped from this scientist and is working with another wrestler she met to take down the mob and find her sister. Meanwhile, there's a secret US organization that is monitoring countries and their ability to make metas from quantum. That's the chemical or whatever that they mine. Hotel, spelled HOTELL, from AWA. A pregnant woman runs from her abusive husband and ends up in a creepy hotel in the middle of nowhere. And she does meet some people at that hotel. And I think what each issue is going to feature is, oh, this is the next character in that hotel. And this is the next character in the hotel. And there's a fire at the end of this one, and maybe it'll tell you who started the fighter in one of those issues. Very interesting story. Very told in a Quentin Tarantino type storytelling. So if you're into that, Archangel 8, number one, a mob boss hires an assassin to go kill someone who may be an angel. AWA. Suicide Squad 1 through 4. Tom Taylor's taken over and he's kicking some ass. This is a 4 out of 5 as well. A group called the Revolutionaries is disrupting military and political things around the globe, and they're very effective. The new characters are Wink, Ari, Jog, Thylacine, Deadly Six, Chaos Kitten, Osita, Tientine, Scale, and Finn, who are brothers, I believe, underwater brothers. Waller steps down and an asshole Loke takes over. He sends the squad after the revolutionaries, which consist of Deadshot, Harley, Magpie, Cavalier, Zebra Man, and the Shark. The battle is close, but when Loke does not let the squad kill the team because he wants to use them with bombs in their neck to perform on Suicide Squad missions, deaths. Jog, Tientine, Scale, Cavalier, Magpie, and Shark. Quite a bit of. It's not King Shark, by the way, it's Shark. So just so you don't get confused. Crazy suspense and intrigue as the revolutionaries have their own agenda to find out who Loke is working for. Red Sonja, number 2 through 12. This is the Mark Russell Dynamite series. Amazing. 5 out of 5. Red Sonja is appointed queen of Hykeria, which is very poor land and is going to be conquered by an evil king, Dragon, who has an empire and needs to conquer every land he conquers. Sonja learned valuable lessons from her mentor. Part of the awesomeness of the story are the scenes with her and her mentor that lead her to victory over impossible odds as she is being chased across her land by Dragon. Dragon. It's spelled Dragan. She loses the last of her relatives when he is captured. During this time, Dragon proposes to her to like a marriage proposal, and she considers it to make peace. Once she finds her cousin is dead, all deals are broken, and that marriage is not going to happen. Sonya's small band of characters kill a lot of their enemies. It's an amazing story. Highly recommended. Another AWA Resistance number one. A virus is killing people around the world. Those that survive can come back with abilities. Red Border number one. AWA. A vocal woman in Mexico reports an accident and is being hunted by a drug lord across the border. They are rescued by a white guy with a gun. And this can't be a good thing. Those were very good stories. AWA is kicking ass coming out the door. We're going to go into April 20th through April 26th. The movies I watched: Battle Beyond the Stars is a 4 out of 5. Space Hunter Adventures into the Forbidden Zone, a 4 out of 5. I was in a sci-fi kick that week. The comics read were not that many, if I totaled them right. We got 15. We have one Silverline, seven Marvel, one Kickstarter, five Dynamite, one DC. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. PBOW, World War Bitch, Part 1. That was a Kickstarter. A group of pregnant women take on Hitler, Tesla, and others. They also have to deal with an albino alligator that has a hunger for dicks. Yeah, that's right. Human man dicks. We go into the 4 out of 5s. Vampirella, 4 through 6. Vampirella still discussing with her shrink the plane crash. Then Nyx, who's we talked about in Vengeance of Vampirella, comes into the picture by putting her mind into various human hosts. Vampirella's hanging out with one of the stalkers and sleeping with her. So there's that. And they meet another weirdo. I forget what the weirdo's name is. Very confusing, but I can't take my eyes off of it. It's pretty cool. Top Dog, number 1 and 2 and 4 and 10. Top Dog meets his new owner for the first time, and an evil Richie Rich type character tries to steal Top Dog. A Top Dog lookalike spy is stealing secrets from the government with two Russian spies. Top Dog and his owner involve the FBI and take them down. Top Dog is found by his former government employer. He is used to run a super mainframe computer from them, and they need to stop a terrorist who has made billions of dollars of fake money to cause inflation. Top Dog has been really good. 4 out of 5. I've been reading that. I don't own the physical copies on the Marvel app. Savage Tales, Red Sonja, one shot. Sonja visits the Tower of Vigor. I hope I'm recording. Yeah, I am. Vigor Normandy to try to bring back all her loved ones. This is a retelling of her origin story where her family was slaughtered and she had to become a thief with her first love, Jovan. An old man gave them the way into a treasury, which they robbed, up to a point of Jovan getting caught and killed. Red Sonja had to behead him. Silver Surfer Black, number 4, 4 out of 5. So this one went from 3 out of 5s to 4 out of 5s, and it's getting better as I read along. Surfer gets the opportunity when confronting Uatu to take away Galactus. Before he becomes Galactus, Uatu convinces him otherwise so that he must continue his burden. He has to make an agreement with Ego to make the venom infection stop. If you like Uatu the Watcher, you should listen to the Uatu song. I think you'll dig it. Go to Kirby Crackle on YouTube and look up Uatu. Uatu. Vampirella, Prelude to Shadows. This is the story of a witch who comes back to haunt a nun and convert so she can get her soul back from a demon. Vampirella is asked by the church to fix the situation. Vampirella wins and the witch is banished. The second story is about a sea demon that grants a sailor youth and life if he delivers bodies to the sea creature. He falls for Vampirella and tries to protect her, which breaks the spell, and the sailor is consumed. Pendragon and Vampirella are the only two survivors. They're doing a magic show on a boat, and that is how they got on the boat. Cat and Mouse number 2, second volume. This is from Silverline. I had to buy this on The first one was a Kickstarter. The second one wasn't a Kickstarter to my knowledge, but was offered from Indie Planet, print on demand. The cop is attacked by ninjas while trying to rescue his ex-daughter. He runs into Demon, who also has a comic book that we talked about that I ordered 4 issues of, and then does find a girl. He tries to convince her to leave. She tells him what her foster father did to her, and then Widowmaker shows up and commands her to kill the cop. So she was sexually abused by her foster father, Mouse. Silver Surfer, 6th series, number 9 and 10. This is the Dan Slott series. Galactus, this is a 5 out of 5, by the way. So we went from the 4 out of 5s into the 5 out of 5s. Galactus is going to destroy the world. We're lone survivors of all worlds that Silver Surfer had hands in killing, and now they call this world home. Surfer tries several ways to stop Galactus. The whole world offers themselves up to become heralds of Galactus, but he refuses because their worlds are dead. Then Dawn offers up, and he accepts, and is in the process of turning her into a herald. Then the world evacuates the world to save Dawn from having to become the herald of Galactus, because the deals are off, because they're going to let Galactus kill the world and eat it if Dawn is freed. At the end, the Surfer says he will take Dawn back to Earth. Detective Comics Walmart Giant, number 1. Two-Face is seeking revenge on a Batman villain who escaped him when he was a district attorney. That's the original story. I think it was. I can't think of his name. The Hawkman writer. Why am I losing it? First appearance of Batman. It has Detective Comics 27. Has the first appearance of Robin, the first appearance of Batgirl, the first appearance of Leslie Tompkins and Phantom Stranger. There's a story about Phantom Stranger having to recruit Batman and Robin to stop Thomas and Martha Wayne from getting killed in another multiverse timeline. The Leslie Tompkins one was my favorite. She's really old. This is pre-crisis. She looks really decrepit. That was a really good story. Highly recommend it. Very good. That comic book was fucking expensive because of the low print one. You didn't think a Batman Walmart giant like Detective Comics would be rare, but it was, and it's going up in price still. We then get to April 27th through May 3rd. The movies watched quite a bit of movies, probably a lot of le less comics books because of that. Star Crash was another sci-fi that I kept going. Rambo Last Blood watched on Amazon Prime. I think Star Crash was Amazon Prime. The Extraction was a good Netflix original movie. Highly recommend those. Extraction and Rambo were a lot of fun. The comic books weren't that much because I watched a lot of TV that week. Let's see, we had 13, 26, total of 26 comics. Four from Marvel, one from Kitchen Sink, 6 Image, 2 Boom, and 13 DC. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. Strange Skies Over East Berlin. That story is kind of good. It's about a guy that works for the bad side of the government, but he seems to be trying to help people escape over the wall. But in this first issue, they get slaughtered, so you don't really know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, or if he led them to slaughter, because then it gets into some alien stuff. The alien stuff is happening over East Berlin, and this guy gets involved with underground organization that is tracking down the aliens. The Image one is Killadelphia number 1. A cop is investigating his dad's death, and turns out it involves yellow fever and vampires. That one they're turning into a feature film. We have Cherry Pop-Tart. It's just called Cherry though, and even though on the cover I think it says P Cherry Pop-Tart. This is a pornographic comic book that I wanted to experience. It's a masturbation story, a Rambone story. It's like a Rambo with a big dick. An Indiana Jones story, a story of pubic hair design, which is a one-pager, and a story where Cherry and her friend are dressing in a dressing room, and there's like five peeping toms that are beating the shit out of each other just so they can cop a look. We have Reaver 3 through 6. The teams invade the mystical fortress. These are 4 out of 5 since Cherry, by the way. The sorcerer that poisoned the team is pulling the strings, but the female that is controlling him. Skin Eater makes the ultimate sacrifice. Breaker kills a lot as they storm the castle. The serial killer betrays the team. The black-haired hero they bailed out is killed. He gets them into the castle by saying he is one of the prisoners. Really liked it. A lot of death in this one. Makes you wonder where the series is going. Top Dog, 3 through 6. Top Dog is wrongfully accused by a jealous friend of Joey as being a dog biter. He gets off and has to capture the real dog that is doing the biting of kids. Top Dog has to use his supercomputer again to take down an invisible criminal. Melvin Megabucks is back to take Top Dog Joey. Joey takes Top Dog to the vet for the very first time. Legionnaires, number 1 through 4. This is the mini series. No, this is the ongoing. The Legionnaires have to work together to take out Monos. Later, there is a recruitment drive, and we learn that Livewire and Infernal are real jerks. The take on the sewer creature, that becomes one of the Fatal Five. I don't know why I said the take. The sewer creature becomes one of the Fatal Five as the Legionnaires are fighting in the sewers. The one girl that is picked on becomes the Emerald Empress. The Fatal Five is formed, and Cosmic Boy and Computo are the team leaders. Alienated by Boom, three outcasts, Samantha, Samuel, and Samir, are united through an alien nest. Really cool story because they are outcasts and they all have, they're very different people, very diverse set of characters. Wonder Woman number 40 through 44. This was the Gail Simone stuff, I believe, finishing off her series. Wonder Woman takes on the Children of Ares, who are causing trouble everywhere. She goes because she killed Ares. The children influence Power Girl to fight with Wonder Woman. Eventually, she gets Power Girl to stop. By using her lasso to defeat the kids, Wonder Woman deals with the race of women of the Serpent looking to destroy Earth. She works with Achilles, Steve Trevor, Etta, and the Amazons to defeat her aunt and cousin. Jonah Hex, number 53 through 56. Jonah Hex hires a dancer singer from a bar to track down a bounty on the Hager brothers and the gang. The woman tries to betray him after they succeed, and he gets the award by hit and steal the award by hitting Jonah over the head with a shovel. But then Hex kills everyone and shoots and cripples the dancer. Jonah Hex gets his horse stolen by a guy who kills the sheriff. He gets blamed and is going to hang for it until the guy comes and rescues him. A kid's parents are killed by gangsters, and his name is Billy Dynamite. History repeats himself, and several years later, at the same bar, Billy Dynamite is killed, and Hex gets revenge for him. There's a story about Hex helping a Native American woman protect her land from a white man, from the white man. A story of how Hex's father left his son with Native Americans and how he grew up being beaten over and over again until he can overcome it. The 5 out of 5 is Stealth from Image Comics. A kid is trying to take care of his Alzheimer's father, and we find out that the father really is Stealth in Detroit, not the son, which is like a twisty, turvy thing. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. The 5 out of 5s again were Stealth, number 1, Silver Surfer, volume 6, 9, and 10, Detective Comics Walmart Giant, and Red Sonja from Dynamite 2 through 12, Resistance from AWA, number 1, and Red Border from AWA, number 1. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to contact me, you can contact me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. That's the best place. You can send me email. I check it daily, mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com and leave a comment there as well. You can go to Facebook if you click Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in it. Click the like button. You can follow all episode threads there and comment on the show. I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you. Bye-bye.